Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until 10. We're back in the Radio Centre in Dublin after all our travels. And it's Thursday now, would you believe it? It's the 17th of July. Not a bad day here. Not as fresh as the West, but very bad news there from Brian Jennings, isn't there, about the rain traipsing all across the whole country today. Anyway, our services are open for business in the usual way as you settle in for the day. The WhatsApp is 087 032 32 32, and if you prepare the email, that's oliver@rte.ie. Now, and we only have a fantastic guest for you for our return to the studio, Sean O'Connor. He would have affected all of our lives in some way. A very prominent and spirited figure from the Liberties in Dublin, where he grew up. And he really loves that place and thinks it has lessons for all of us in our lives. He also campaigned for years and years very publicly with the Divorce Action Group, which, of course, was eventually successful. And in his career, he was a structural engineer turned barrister, but the pioneering of change. And his company, by the way, is still going and involved in building projects all across the country, from colleges to housing. Sean O'Connor, his children include the author Joseph O'Connor and the late Sinead O'Connor and others who are less prominent, but very impressive and talented people nonetheless. So Sean, he's an 87-year-old man who is worth listening to, I can promise you, this morning. Looking forward to meeting him later on. 51551 is the text. And I must say good morning to all our friends in Iris, the Iris region of Mayo. I can't wait to go back when I'm not working and fritzing and trying to do all the long touristy things in short bursts. The locals there were thanking us for highlighting their unspoiled wonder of lesser spotted Mayo, but also hinting that maybe they don't want too many people to come over, even though they're coming down with beaches and lighthouses, as you heard. But it's kind of the hush of the place that draws you in, so you don't want that ruined. I've also never been finger saluted on the road as many times as I have on Tuesday and Wednesday. Fellas drawn trailers of turf, women driving out of the Eurospar there. They're mad for saluting you behind the wheel, which was really just lovely. It's just a thing that they do. It's a very friendly, unbothered way of living. Also, I don't know what the connection is diaspora-wise, but I met quite a few people from Cavan who come down to on Fodd's Dove, the Black Sod Lighthouse, who were either on holidays in Mayo or actually living in Erris, Cavan people. Maybe it's because Cavan people are quick to say where they come from as well. I don't know. Remember Rachel Lally, who we did here just a couple of weeks ago, the young teacher and boxer based in Dubai, who's known as the Bullet from Belmullet since she returned to pro boxing. I met her mammy at the Black Sod, Rosaline Lally, who's one of those mums that kind of appears more like a sister when you meet her. Do you know that? And she was telling me she's the National Access Manager with the Irish Wheelchair Association, one of these people and these families who are involved in a very good way in many, many things. And she leads a campaign called Rolling Waves. And the whole thing behind it is to make all the blue flag beaches in Ireland accessible for people in wheelchairs. It makes a lot of sense. She says the initiative is advocating for all blue flag beaches everywhere to be wheelchair accessible, not only with beach wheelchairs, but also with the use of these beach access mats. And they're big blue mats, specially designed rubber mats secured into the sand, and wheelchair users can stay in their own chairs and they access the beach like everybody else. And they also assist anyone else with mobility issues who's using things with wheels, and of course parents with buggies or strollers. So it's universal access. And Ellie Bay near Black Sod, where we were yesterday, has 20 access mats, and they were unused for 2 years until the local council took responsibility for insuring them, says Rosaline. And now the mats are in place, and Ellie Bay is one of the most accessible beaches in Ireland. So endless success stories we were getting there. I also want to say hello to a man I met at the Sulla Centre, at the risk of sounding more and more like Enda Kenny as I go on. I met a man at the Sulla Centre with two ice creams in his hand. No, he didn't. By the way, the Sulla Centre is the must visit starting point to explore the whole an Gaeltacht Urish. Pat Travers was his name, which is a very memorable name because there aren't many Travers in Ireland, and I think there's some Huguenot thing, must be Travers at some point. But Pat Travers is from Leitrim, where you could not call it Travers. And he mostly listens to the show, he was telling me, from Little Rock, Arkansas in the United States, where he went and ran a very successful truck business, as he called it, running 18-wheelers. Those kind of mega trucks over beyond that we don't have here. So Pat and his wife listen in from either Eris or Arkansas. So hello to both of them. Big readers and radio enthusiasts. Enjoyed the chat with him. And actually hailing back to Strand Hill, where we were on Tuesday, I met Neil Byrne from Mama Johnson's Gelato, about the only business in Sligo we didn't mention that day. He was telling me they had 42 employees, believe it or not, making what we'll always call fancy ice cream, fancy octorocha here, gelato. And believe it, gelato is not just for the summer. They're only closed for 2 days of the year. And they have the dining place in Strand Hill, and they also supply high-end restaurants and hotels about the place. And Mama Johnson's Gelato have beaten the Italians at gelato competitions 4 times, he was telling me. I think it's the Irish milk, the quality we have here, you see, because of what they're feeding them out in Italy wouldn't be near as good. So look out for Mama Johnson's and add it to your Strand Hill list. Now, what has been happening nationally since? Well, the two stories dominating this week seem to be that row over on Puss, which exploded in Morning Ireland yesterday morning. And the presidential election is finally, ever so slowly, starting up. But there's nothing really new to report there today. It is truly summer slowdown territory now. If only it was the same worldwide. But sure, look, allow me to lighten the load for you, because some prominent names have been out and about talking about things. Well, Bono doesn't stop. He spoke to the Ruthie Rogers podcast. This is Ruthie's Table 4. It's a foodie podcast. And he was chatting about his relationship with food and how it changed after his mum died and it became a house of men. He was only 14 years of age. And he says, after school staple became a tin of meat, a tin of beans and Cadbury Smash, the instant mashed potato. I didn't know it was Cadbury's. Must have been made up the road in Coolock, where he was in Ballymun, Lasnevin. And the diet was supplemented by leftover airline food brought home by his older brother Norman, who was working at Dublin Airport. And so he says, just being a teenager, food was fuel. He didn't care about it at all. And later, of course, he meets the love of his life, Ali Hewson, and his relationship with food changes quite dramatically, as he tells Ruthie's Table 4 podcast.
I would try to cook for her, but I just wasn't able to really. And she then made it complicated. She became a vegetarian. And I'm like, oh, God, what do I do? Nuts and berries, you know, I'm like, oh. And I do recall coming home on the weekend and she was cooking. And I remember getting this beautiful smell of beef. I thought, oh, my God, she's cooking beef for me and she's vegetarian. This is how amazing. And I walked in. I said, what are you cooking? She said, that's not for us. That's the dog's dinner. There's a few bones actually picked out from the butchers. It's a dog. And I was like, hold on, it smells so good. And I was like, look, let me. And I ate it.
He ate the dog's dinner. Did he eat it from the floor? A little bowl put on the floor. That'd be an interesting image. I'd say there's a lot of dogs in the country named Bono, wouldn't you say? Or would it suit a cat? I always thought the Edge is a good name for a cat. Anyway, moving on. Former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama, they've addressed the speculation directly together. This mad speculation, which has been led by Republican-leaning media outlets in the US, that alleges that they're divorcing. They were on a podcast. It's a podcast called IMO, which Michelle hosts with her brother Craig Robinson. And so she introduced her husband as my man. By the way, if you've been just catching up on this, rumours about the marriage circulated because she skipped a couple of high-profile appearances that Barack Obama attended, including the second inauguration of Mr. Trump, the state funeral of Jimmy Carter, all in January. And so they have this episode and they focus, the whole episode is basically about parenting young men. And Craig Robinson, the brother, told a story of a woman at the airport who approached him and referring to Barack Obama says, what did he do that your sister, you know, is like leaving him and so on? And so because the absence has sparked all these kind of rumours, false rumours, as it turns out. So Michelle Obama has been trying to clear the air around the decision. In April, she already said she spent 8 years at the White House doing everything she had to do because her husband was the president. And now she's the freedom to do whatever she wants. And she looks at her calendar, choose what's best for her, what to do, what not to do. And I'm my own person, essentially. So here's the Obamas chortling about this fake news that they're dismissing.
It's so nice to have you both in the same room together.
I know, because when we aren't, folks think we're divorced.
So yes. I don't even know this stuff's going on.
Right.
And then somebody will mention it to me and I'm all like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
There hasn't been one moment in our marriage where I thought about quitting. my man. And we've had some really hard times, but we had a lot of fun times, a lot of adventures, and I have become a better person because of the man I'm married to.
Okay. Don't make me cry now. Aww. Right at the beginning of the show.
Aww, that's sweet.
Don't let me start tearing up now.
He's her man still. She went a bit country there for a minute, didn't she? Speaking of going country, there's a interesting message in on the finger salute on the road. Recently, I was driving in Kinsale, pulled into a junction where the right of way wasn't clear. Another car had the same idea. We both braked. Whew, no harm was done. When I looked over at the driver, he raised a finger to chastise me. He was an older man. On complete autopilot, I raised my pointer finger from the steering wheel to salute him. And in the same moment, I realised, oh, I've misread the gesture. And I said this to the teenager in my passenger seat and saw that he'd also raised it. He was also saluting friendly as well. And the other driver saw the two of us, smiled and changed his angry cross finger to a salute. And we all drove on. It made me laugh. It must be so confusing to be from overseas driving in Ireland. All these fingers are waving from the steering wheel and you don't know what to do. It's like beeping as well. Of course, beeping in Dublin is an angry, get the hell out of my way, you've done something wrong. Beeping in the country is like, oh, I must know that person. And you kind of keep following down the road until you realise you probably don't. They were beeping at someone else, not you. 51551, by the way, for the messages. So there's the Obamas. I'm sure Donald Trump would be delighted. By the way, loads of rumours of that Melania's always going to run away from Trump, but no evidence on that either. She seems to be quite happy where she is. Trump has now, with all the wars and everything going on, decided to spend some time thinking about the flavour of Coca-Cola. He says, Coca-Cola has agreed to use real cane sugar in its drinks sold in the United States for the first time in decades. Why is that a surprise? Because Coca-Cola uses corn syrup in its American products. And his health secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Democrat to Republican switcher, he's voiced concerns about the health impacts of the high fructose corn syrup that Coke uses to sweeten their Coca-Cola over there. And so on his Truth social media platform, Trump said, I've been speaking to Coca-Cola about using real cane sugar in Coke in the United States, and they've agreed to do so. I'd like to thank all those in authority at Coca-Cola. To which Coca-Cola went, sorry, what? What's just happened? I think 14 hernias and 17 conniptions. And they put out a very non-committal statement in response going, we appreciate President Trump's enthusiasm. More details on our new innovative offerings within the product range will be shared soon. And then they'd cried into a corner for a while. And he also said, this will be a very good move by Coca-Cola. You'll see, it's just better. It's better. So what's the confusion? Coca-Cola, sold in the US, it's corn syrup. In Mexico, they use the proper cane sugar and it tastes completely different. You might remember the British Prime Minister, former one, Rishi Sunak, used to ship it in from Mexico because he thought it was nicer. Because over here in Europe, we use sucrose from beet or highly processed sugar. And it tastes completely different. In various, they use the same thing, though. Coca-Cola globally is made using a secret concentrate, which they called Merchandise 7X. Mmm, sounds healthy. Make sure you get your Merchandise 7X several times a day. But the base flavouring essentially remains the same. So the sweetener and, of course, the water quality different by region. And now Trump is kind of bullying Coca-Cola into changing their whole thing to cane sugar, which is very significant for the Corn Refiners Association president and the farmers who probably voted for Trump in America. CEO John Bode said, replacing high fructose corn syrup with cane sugar would cost thousands of American food manufacturing jobs, depress farm income and boost imports of foreign sugar, all with no nutritional benefit. There you go. So that's what they're saying. And Brazil has most of the cane sugar. And at the moment, Trump plans a 50% tariff on Brazil from the 1st of September. But look, he's going to forget about this anyway because Trump always chickens out. Taco, remember? I'm being told here in the text that Mullaghmore Beach in Sligach also has the blue mats and access for wheelchairs. Very good news. On Bono, Norman, the brother, opened a really cool Italian restaurant in Suffolk Street in Dublin in the early 90s. It was called La Scala. When it closed, I could have cried. Do you or any of the listeners remember it? That's from Tom in Rathfarnham. Anyone remember it here in our team? Yeah. Oh, there's nods. Yeah, don't remember. La Scala, some people will remember that. A shout out, please, to Bono, who's my cousin Anne's dog. I knew it. He's so intelligent. He's offered his food choices in a bag. And he points to, with his paws, his choice. Top dog, says Carmel in Beaumont. That's a very well looked after young animal, Bono. Come on, Bono. If you say the dog's name, it's going to go mad on the radio. By the way, Donald Trump, he's so obsessed with Coca-Cola. Did you know he has a red button on his table to call in a Diet Coke? He's a Diet Coke, not a Coke Zero man. And presses the red button on a mahogany thing on his desk. And I presume he just has this image in his head, that the, you know, the famous ad. Oh, sorry, that's the wrong one. This one. There you go. 51551 is the text this morning. Happy Thursday, everybody. Here's Etta James. Keep your shirt on. There you go. Etta James there. It says some people fanning themselves, cooling themselves off after that. Those Diet Coke ads began in 1994, I was reading. So 30 years ago, and they kept going all the way up to 2013. They'll be back again. Sure, you know yourself. Okay, on the finger salute on the roads, there's a beeping etiquette in the Armagh Louth area. Oh, yes. A quick, short hello toot. Beep. Two toots to get attention. Beep, beep. And standing on the horn, plus expletives. That's the discontent, angry one. That one that goes on for a while. And also, the hello index finger is not preferred in Armagh Louth. I can include Monaghan in this one, Paul. It is the back of the hand on the windscreen is preferred. You kind of put the back of your hand up on the windscreen and it's well. It's a silent well, but you can just assume, and that's the exact tone they'd be doing it. Norman's restaurant, someone says it was called Tosca. I think he had two of them, perhaps. A pal of mine was a waitress there. Great stories of the supermodel days and the customers. The best tip was from Johnny Depp, allegedly. And that's from Karen. Thank you very much for that message. Listen, we're going to meet a man who has utterly charmed our entire production team, Sean O'Connor, and we'll get to it right after these.
Text 51551.